Welcome to this week's episode of The Club. And this week is week number 3 in our month of dental hygiene. Our first episode, we went through the calculator so you could calculate for your unique dental practice what financial impact there would be if you implemented a hygienist within your practice. Last week, it was Amina Basile from Dental Management Expertise giving her hints and tips on successfully implementing a dental hygiene practice into a dental practice. And this week, I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by a good buddy of mine, and I've worked with her in the past too, so I know what a star talent she is. And her name is Rebecca Cleland. She is a hygienist here in Melbourne. Welcome, Beck.
Hi, Julie. Great to see you again.
Lovely to see you too, and I thank you so much for you coming on today and helping me describe to dental practices what they need to do in order to create a fantastic environment for dental hygienists to be bashing down the door, I want to work at your practice, but also what characteristics to look for in a hygienist when they're actually doing their first hire. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Well, I've been a dental hygienist for some time now. I did dental therapy first, and I worked in the public dental system in rural and in metropolitan Melbourne, and then I became a hygienist, and I have worked mostly private practice since then. And I've worked at a few different practices, and I've also done locum hygiene work. I've done it here in Melbourne, and when I was travelling around Australia, I did locum work in Perth as well. So I've worked at many different broad practices, many types of practices, whether it be general practices, orthodontic clinics. I found just a great practice is one with good communication, good staff. I want to walk in the door, see everyone smiling, everyone happy. There's nothing worse than walking into a practice. You're not greeted by the receptionist. You have a dental assistant coming out or someone in steri, you know, in scrubs and complaining, and it's just not a good look. So I've walked into practices before and I've seen this and I'm like, oh no.
We've got to make sure we've got happy, lovely environments that people want to come to, that they enjoy being there. Otherwise, like turning up to a party with everyone standing up along the lines of the wall with no action going on.
That's right. So what I look for is, first of all, like the communication, either a phone call or an interview online, obviously now, before we can meet someone, and come in, be warm and welcome. And it's all about communication. You need to ask the hygienist what their needs are. And talk about, you know, what kind of appointments that you want, like 1 hour appointments, 45 minute appointments. I find 1 hour appointments work best. And you've got to consider, is the dentist coming in for this 1 hour appointment?
Yeah, that's one thing that I've always had a question mark. Do dental practices do it differently? Because traditionally, am I right that I say that most hygienists don't work with a dental assistant, or they do sometimes? What's the answer to that one first?
Yeah, they do sometimes, especially for therapy. So an oral health therapist, you'll do some therapy component. So we need a dental assistant, whether it be a dental / steri nurse. Generally, that's how I work at the moment. So if I'm doing any therapy, then the assistant will come in. And also at the start of the appointment, if I'm doing a perio chart or bite wings, they'll be there at the start, and then at the end of the appointment, they'll come in to do the changeover. So that's really important too, that we have an assistant to do the changeover, because that's our time to walk the patient out to reception, do a handoff, and also to come back in and quickly do your notes before the next patient. So I have done changeovers in the past, but I just found it's too hectic and stressful, and then taking instruments through to steri and having to sterilize them. I want to have more time with the patient and more time to do the notes. And
in regards to the structure of the appointment time itself, can you step us through a standard regular appointment time? Nothing outside the ordinary, just a standard regular hygiene appointment time. What gets covered?
Okay, standard appointment, bring the patient through. If they're due for bite wings, which is every 2 years, or perio chart, whenever you do it, generally I do it every 2 years. I walk the patient in, greet them. We'll have a little chat. I'll talk about medical history, if they've updated it, any new medications, and then do the pre-rinse, put their bib on, either do a perio chart or bite wings at the start. Now I'll lay them back, have a look around the dentition, see if I'm see anything that I'll flag with the dentist. Then I will run through, if we're not doing a perio chart, I'll still do every tooth and check all the pockets, let the patient know if there's any pocketing, where there's build up, and just let them know what I've found basically. And then I'll commence the clean. And then at the end, I will sit the patient up and do some oral hygiene instruction if required, and then make their 6-month appointment or 3-month. It depends when I need to see them again. And then I'll walk them out to reception and do the handoff. And during the appointment, the dentist will come in at my practice and do the examination. And during that time, I'll let them know if I've, you know, seen anything. I'll let them know if I've done x-rays. I'll have the x-rays ready on the screen so they can have a look. And then we'll go through the chart. I will do the charting if there's any caries or any crowns or anything required. I'll click on that and we'll do a little treatment plan that I've printed off. We always quote every patient before they leave. So when I give them their little goodie take-home bag, I have their printed off treatment plan, and I'll just show them and I'll just say, look, I've got this treatment plan for you, for your fillings or your crown. I've just put this in your little show bag. Then I'll walk them out to reception. I'll tell the receptionist that I've made their 6-month appointment, but could you please book Mrs. Brown in for, you know, her crown and what time. And it's all there on their quote as well, how much time it is, and then the receptionist will know as well, and we'll schedule that for them.
And have you seen any variation in how the dentist does their examination portion? Under normal circumstances, I assume that it's always the dentist kind of in that they're in between patients, or they're at a point where the local anaesthetic's working in their surgery and they use that time to jump in and do the examination.
Absolutely. So, they'll give LA, they'll come in and look at it. They don't need to spend as long in the room because I've already had a look around and I can let them know what I see. The x-ray's already taken, and best where the dentist comes in that appointment, rather than in the past when hygiene departments started out, they would say book 15 minutes with the dentist and then they'd see the hygienist for a clean, you know, for 45 or something like that, or half an hour. But I just feel that it works best if you just do the 1-hour appointment. It's not so rushed. They can come in if they have time. Sometimes they maybe need to be in the room for, you know, 10 minutes. They're catching up with the patient or there's a complex case, and in that point, if they need more time, they'll let the patient know, look, this is what we found today, I'll actually get you back and we'll do a bit of a treatment plan, and you know, I'll have more time with you. So that doesn't happen very often, but that can happen. What I find works best with a new patient is that when the dentist does the new patient exam, if they do the perio chart within the new patient exam, and then they talk to the patient about what their findings, their periodontal pockets. They'll explain periodontal disease progression with photos and x-rays and explain where the patient's at. So they're all worded up for when they come into their first hygiene appointment. We can just straight into it. I'll say at the start, do you have any questions? I know the doctor's explained it to you. And usually they're like, no, I understand, but you know, I want to, you know, get going. I'm aware, you know, of my gum disease, and yeah, let's get it treated. And this saves time for the first appointment for the hygienist. If you have to do a perio chart and then, you know, stand there for 10, 15 minutes explaining what periodontal disease is, it's just taking up too much time that we want to use that for treatment.
I imagine too that the dentist moving through the perio chart themselves, that then provides the patient with the reason and value for seeing the hygienist if they haven't seen one before.
Absolutely. That's what I found as well in the past. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, look, the hygienist is specialised in doing the cleaning, and, you know, I can only do a quick, you know, 10, 15 minute, half an hour clean, whereas they can spend more time and actually treat your disease, and we can get on top of it and manage it better in the long run.
Nice. Nice. And before we started the recording, you were mentioning about how to get the team, the dental team on board. Because if we've got a dental team that's normally done it the traditional way, I shouldn't say traditional way, I'll say the old way, back when I was a young dental nurse, when there was, didn't even know what the word hygienist was. That was back in 1920. That to be able to get them having that mind shift, and because I imagine that there's quite a bit of resistance at sometimes. Well, the patients won't like it. The patient just loves Dr. Harry and that's it. What are your ideas around getting the team on board?
Well, at the start, I guess you just got to talk to all team members and let them know what an actual hygienist is and does, and just say, look, and also to patients that, you know, you're going to actually love it, and they're going to spend more time, just give them more value. It's about creating more value that, you know, they're going to do a professional clean, they're specialized in this. And honestly, patients love it. They're definitely a little bit resistant at the start, but if the dentist, even if you flag that with the patient, the dentist can try to be there at the start of the appointment, walk the patient in, do a handover, and just, and even if they pop back in at the end of the appointment, just to make sure that everything's okay. And nice. But basically it's just training the staff what a hygienist does, and so they all word it up, and it's really important for the receptions, the phone calls, even maybe even sending out a newsletter, email, just so patients are aware that they will be seeing a hygienist, a bit of information what a hygienist does, and some feedback.
Fantastic. And what are your thoughts around getting the some of the staff members to actually get a cleaning done by you so they can actually feel themselves that there's a bit of a difference?
Absolutely. Always at the start. Yes. And for the boss as well. I've always been a bit nervous in the past, always cleaning my boss's teeth before I start a job, and but it's great. And yeah, that's the way to do it, Julia. Absolutely. Is clean all the staff's teeth.
Fantastic. So kind of this kind of brought my mind to, I might be jumping around a little bit, but that's brought my mind to, when a dental practice is looking at hiring a hygienist, what is the accepted norm? Like, do they actually say, can you come in and do a cleaning on me so I can actually gauge what your abilities are like? What's the norm around that?
Absolutely. I've had that in the past, and come in for a trial day and, yeah, and just treat a couple of patients, treat a couple of staff as well. Yeah, and just be familiarised with the environment. So I've loved just to go in there, and I've actually requested that I wanted to go in and just shadow them for a day or so at least, because I want to know how the practice runs. I want to know how the run of it all, where everything's in the drawers. I'll go through all the drawers, what I would need. So you need a little flip chart to show, you know, disease progression. Some practices have slideshows, which is great as well, on the computer. I love that. And, you know, electric toothbrush, a manual toothbrush, and a, you know, little Charlie Chompers. So you can show just, and like have everything, like Pixters or whatever interdental brushes you use, whatever, you know, your practice has. I want to make sure that they're all stocked and ready to go so we can give the best advice for the patient.
And we're just to get a feel for not your therapy side, but just the hygiene side, what's the scope of practice? At what age do you start doing the hygiene cleans? Can you see children for their examinations?
Yeah, all ages. So we like to even bring children in, just say to parents, you know, when the children are young, as young as they are, just bring them in the pram, bring them in, just get them familiarized with the environment. And sometimes, you know, two or three, I'll sit them on their mum's or dad's lap, give them a little ride, or give them a little toothbrush, sticker, balloon, whatever we give out. And basically all ages. So they'll usually around four, they'll have an appointment and just do a little hand scale and a prophy. And then the dentist will come in and do the examination as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. So what sort of characteristics are ones to look for as a dental practice when looking for that fantastic hygienist?
Well, basically you're going to work out if you're happy to have a new grad. And new grad, you can take them under your wing, and you can show them, well, this is, you know, the practice, how we like it to run. Or you might want a more experienced practitioner, especially if you're starting out, that has, you know, been in a hygiene program, knows how the hygiene program runs. So you can give you some direction and work with the dentists and staff.
I would imagine that would be a winner of a way, because all of the questions that you have, they're instantly answered by the experienced person in front of you.
That's right. Yeah, so usually I think a practice should maybe take on someone, you know, with a few years under their belt. And then when you get your second hygienist, then you can get a new grad and then develop them into the hygiene program.
Yeah. And hygienists can be offered either an hourly rate or a percentage, is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. And the kind of a very broad range is all I need of hourly rates and percentages. What's an acceptable space?
Hourly rate, I think these days, ballpark with my friends and people, other colleagues, is between 50 and say 65 an hour. And percentages, I know around 30%. I think it's 30 to 40%.
Yeah. Beautiful. And when it comes to the dental team explaining the value to patients that are so used to seeing the dentist for the cleanings in the hygienist itself, because they're not just saying to the patient, you're not seeing the person that you're comfortable with. They're saying, you're seeing someone new, and it will be a longer appointment time, and you'll be charged more.
Yeah.
So have you had much experience with what the dental teams can say to the patients?
You're going to really like Beck because she's gentle, she'll have more time with you. And I think patients are a little bit hesitant at the start. They're like, oh, why is it going to take so much longer and stuff like that? But once they get in and have had the experience, they'll understand why. And usually because of the staff, you've cleaned everyone's teeth, they know, and they're giving values, they can say, nah, actually it's the best clean I've ever had, and less painful, and my mouth feels incredible, and yeah, just give it a go. I'm sure you'll absolutely love it.
Yeah, and I was listening to a podcast just earlier today, and it was The Thriving Dentist or something, I can't remember the name of it, but they had some person come on for a quick 5-minute spiel about Rubber Dam and how she manages to put Rubber Dam on every patient that she does a restoration for. And she gets all these dentists say to her, but none of my patients like it. They hate it. They refuse to have it. What's the difference? And she was explaining, never make a surprise from patients while they're in the chair. They're already that, there's an element of anxiety around being there and expectation, of course, of being there, what's going to happen. If you're going to be doing anything outside the norm, you are going to get much higher compliance with the more preparation and explanation you go to prior to. And so I would suggest to club members, if you are going to be implementing a hygienist within your practice, so to certainly get brochures made up, send out an email that explains every step of it, including a video, for example, of the Becks of the world saying this is what's going to happen. And so you're giving them as much information as possible so they very clearly understand what's coming up, and then they're going to have much more acceptance around what's going on.
Absolutely. And I've recorded myself a few times before for other practices and just introducing myself, that's been sent out to the patients. I'm Beck. This is who I am, how long I've been doing it, and what my interests are as well. And what's also, I think, is important, doing a morning huddle. So you can go through the day, let the team know, okay, this patient's due for bite wings. So then at the start of the appointment, the assistant's there ready. Do you have the bite rings ready to go? So we're not on the phone, you know, buzzing, where are you? Where, you know, saves time. If they're already there, they know what you need. And it's just like flagging, okay, this person, she likes a little neck pillow, or, you know, and to the dentist as well at the start, like if you don't know the patients, which I loved when I started a new practice, my dentist would tell me, oh, such and such, you know, she's interested in this. And when you bring them, walk them through, and I can say, oh, doctor, he said he, you know, you love gardening, and then just kind of just make it more personalized. And they're like, oh, wow, you know, he remembered that about me. And I found that's a really beautiful approach. We know
that's
you.
That's a fantastic approach, because that makes you just saying that, relaying that, made me think that I was important enough that they actually communicated about me. I was the topic of conversation, and it wasn't just my mouth. It was me as a person. So that's fantastic. And the morning huddles, I imagine, are crucial when you've got dual providers looking after the same patients.
Yes, absolutely. And I found that it's incredible. I couldn't live without the morning huddle now.
And I love them. We're big supporters here at the club, big supporters. And so is there anything else around the how would a dental team really properly support a hygienist coming in? Number one, it's to maybe have that steady nurse who can also jump in and do the changeovers. And if they're going to be doing additional services, come in and be able to nurse on that, help charting when four hands are required, give the hygienist four hands.
Absolutely. And also too, there might be a patient, you know, that's choking and you might just need to grab the assistant in just to hold suction, or just some people are nervous, just bring them in to hold their hand, or just, you know, yeah, anything. I think the best thing for a hygienist is just the support that all the staff are on board. They're excited, just as they're excited to have you. And, you know, longer appointments are better, not just really short, sharp appointments, making the value. Yeah.
That's it. And recognizing that there, you know, if you had done the calculator on week one of hygiene week, week one of hygiene month, then you would have seen the huge jump in productivity that your practice can move through. And that is simply because your hourly rate is not being diluted down by lower financial return services such as cleanings. Now you're able to achieve a much higher hourly rate. And so when we're talking about getting possibly a part-time steri nurse in, or, you know, and to be able to add those additional pieces of support, yes, that's a financial cost on the business, but your practice itself will start turning over more because of these things. This is where, you know, spending money to make money. Absolutely. And making these sort of decisions is crucial for your dental practice success if you really want to take it to that next level.
Absolutely. And I found that I've even started at practices and I've been the only hygienist, and within like 6 months and we've got another hygienist on board. Like it just grows exponentially. Honestly, it really does.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And where would be the best place to start looking for dental hygienists? Do they hang out on Seek, Indeed, Facebook hiring groups?
Yes, Seek and Facebook groups. Mm. Yeah, the Oral Health Therapists Association. And, there's a few groups on Facebook actually. And then you can post the jobs on those groups. Fantastic. And I think the ADA also you can post on there. But for myself, I've looked on Seek mostly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Was there anything else that you think is important for people to know?
And eventually too, the dentist, if they're comfortable, the hygienist can take all impressions. So impressions for ortho, they can do ortho appointments as well.
Fantastic.
Splints, they can take impressions, whitening, you can do Zoom, take home whitening, you can run promotions. There's a whole other world out there that you can open having a hygienist.
That is magnificent.
And also too, I think it's great if you know you're getting a hygienist or putting it out there to the universe that you are in a few months' time, whenever you're seeing patients, just letting them know, look, next time I'm thinking about hiring a hygienist, this is what a hygienist does, and I'm just putting it out to you that maybe I won't be doing your clean next time, that maybe the hygienist will be doing your clean, and I'm hoping I get a hygienist, and just explain it then. So yeah. Each patient that comes in, the more you say it, the more you're putting it out there, your staff are all on board, they're all telling the patient, so consistency as well, so they don't all of a sudden turn up, oh, hang on, I'm seeing someone, who is this person, and, you know, and it's because they're just going to be
And are there any other things that we're going to be doing, providing additional support wherever possible and doing the morning huddle so there's effective communication around the patients? Anything else that the practice itself can do to create a great environment for a hygienist on top of being happy?
I find, like staff events. I love that. At the practice I work at, we finish a little bit earlier on a Friday afternoon. Years ago, they used to do yoga together, and then I missed that. I came on board and we were doing Friday afternoon drinks, or we might go across the road, kick the football, or we do different things. And mid-year snow trip, big Christmas party, but often, sometimes once a month, we'd have breakfast together, just coming a little bit earlier, have breakfast before the huddle, just little different things. I found that we're also stressed in work and don't have enough time just to catch up and talk. But when you do, you bond, you really bond, and then you're like a family eventually because you're so close. And that's what I've loved about practices, is when I've spent time outside the practice and just getting to know people one-on-one and just their lives and being a part of that. And it's really beautiful. And that's, for me, I've found that I want to stay in a practice that will do that. We'll have social events, we'll get to know me on, you know, back outside of work.
Nice. And really, one of the crucial characteristics of a well-functioning team is that they actually care about each other. Yes. You can only care about each other if you like each other. You can only like each other if you spend time with each other, and that's where those bonds are created. And we think just because we work under the one roof that that's enough interaction to start to like each other, but it's all work stuff, and quite often it's everyone separating their own surgeries. So to be able to provide opportunities, I love the breakfast one before the morning huddle, you know, turn up to work half an hour earlier, we're going to bring in some croissants or something like that.
Yeah,
that is a beautiful idea. And, you know, one day we might be able to go out to a pub.
I know. And also to everyone's birthdays, we get a cake in, we all sing happy birthday, and it's just little things like that. It's more personalized, definitely. But maybe if you can, even with a new staff member before they actually start, if you can, with COVID, please have a little dinner so you can meet staff before they actually start. And it's just more personalizing, and you just feel more comfortable walking into a practice where you feel like you know it. Otherwise, you don't know people's names, and it's really awkward.
Yeah, so that's a tremendous idea, actually. Prior to day one of this new person starting, we're all going out for dinner. And so we can all get to know each other. That's a tremendous idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Good work. Well, Beck, you've been such a source of great information. Thank you so very much. I do hope you come back on the club again, or one of the podcast episodes in the future. That would be fantastic.
My pleasure. I'd love to, Julie. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you.